That means it's time for the Don Tony Show.
The wait all week long is finally over. Get Don Tony's perspective on current affairs in the world of pro wrestling and much more. The Don Tony Show.
And now, your host, the man, the legend, Don Tony.
Does anybody know why or the any special meaning behind a tangerine-colored Kermit the Frog? I don't know what that was all about, but just a little video, you know, to trigger all the Hulk Hogan haters out there. Good day, brother. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, depending on where you live. It is Saturday, 12 noon, not 11 a.m., for those who are not used to the one-hour time difference, I'm not sure if this is going to be a permanent thing, but I have been getting more and more requests lately about starting a little bit later because I do notice that when the stream starts, it starts usually when we do it at 11, starts very, very low, and then it picks up about an hour in. So I said, all right, let me put up a poll and see what you all think. And two-thirds of you said start at 12 noon instead of 11. So we are here. Is this a permanent thing on Saturdays? I don't know. Maybe. I got an extra hour of sleep, which was pretty damn good. I kind of like found myself fidgeting a little bit at 11. But listen, welcome to this edition of the Don Tony Show. I am Don Tony. It is July 15th, 2023. Today, we're going to talk a little bit about WWE SmackDown. We're going to talk a little bit about AEW, the banned and restricted list that came out, which I will tell you right up front is excellent, very much needed. I expect a t-shirt or two to come out of this, you know, news. But obviously that list, if you haven't figured it out, not only is it to help wellness, it's also to try to help eliminate complaints, violations, lawsuits, incidents. So we'll get into that in a little bit. Slammiversary is tonight. Will Trinity become the Impact Women's Knockouts Champion? Some people think that when Mercedes is ready to compete again after her foot injury, that she may show up in Impact for a little while, kind of have a little bit of a feud with Trinity, friends battling it out, and then who knows from there. I don't know, one step at a time. Yeah, we'll talk about, for some of you, the elephant in the room. Something that went down last night on SmackDown. Hopefully everybody read everything that I wrote on social media yesterday. And I think I only wrote maybe like three or four things. It's not like I write 20, 30 tweets a night. But, you know, people like to cherry pick little things that I say and not look at the whole story. Yes, it has to do with Shotzi Blackheart shaving her head. And we'll talk about that in a little bit, obviously. And we got a couple other things. And listen, before we go any further, as we do customary on these shows, it's sad that a lot of places don't even bring it up, you know, unless it's, you know, somebody on the level of the Iron Sheik or superstar Billy Graham. But Mike Halyk passed away. And I'll tell you why this hits home a little bit. Not only as far as, you know, people, mutual friends at the Don Tony Kevin Castle show who knew him, but, you know, he passed away at 55 years old. You all knew him as Mantar, you know, one of the worst gimmicks, let's be honest, one of the worst gimmicks in WWE history, maybe pro wrestling history, but, you know, he tried to take chicken shit and turn it into chicken salad, and he knew it was chicken shit. No matter how hard he tried, it was chicken shit. But he just did what he had to do. And look, you know, something I've been asked in the past. Would you want to be remembered in wrestling for having one of the worst gimmicks of all time, or not really be remembered much at all. And I got to be honest with you. I'd rather be remembered for one of the worst fucking gimmicks of all time than to hardly be remembered. That's my honest opinion. That's the vibe that I always got from Mike. I didn't know him personally, but it hits home also. Because Mike is pretty much my age, Kev Castle's age. Yeah, he was a bigger guy. Yeah, he liked to eat. But, you know, in the latter days of his life, you know, this is how I kind of remember him. You know, looking a little dapper, a little gangster. And, you know, for those that are asking, how did he pass away? I don't have all the details. All I know is that he had suffered a very hard fall. And again, how many times in 26 years of doing this shit here, going back to the hotline days, how many times have we said that when you get up there in age, 50s, 60s, 70s, a fall could do you in? Was it directly related to the fall? We don't know. That's why when I heard about Jim Ross having multiple falls, let me tell you a very, very, very quick story. I went to a wake 2 days ago. One of my customers passed away. And, you know, he was in his 70s. You know, he looked a little frail for quite some time. And, you know, I asked the family when I first was made aware that he died. I said, what happened? And long story short, he fell in his house. And somehow he was able to get something to knock his phone on the floor. And he talked to his sister and said that he fell. He can't get up. And when the sister showed up, there was blood everywhere. He fell, I guess, cracked his head open, his face. They rushed him to the hospital. He was in the hospital for 2 weeks, and he died. But here's the thing. The doctors said to the family that he must have been suffering from these falls for a long time. And they said, why do you say that? And they said, when you took his clothes off, he had bruises, long-term bruises all over his body, that this guy must have been repeatedly losing his balance and falling. And as you get weaker, he had bruises everywhere. They said it almost looked like somebody beat him up, but it wasn't true. He just never told anybody. And apparently Mike fell and took a pretty severe dip and has been in severe pain ever since. And his daughter posted online on Facebook that he died in his sleep. So Mike Halick passed away, 55 years old. He's slightly older than me, you know. And I think about my car accident from 1996. I'm still dealing with crazy pain to this day. You know, and to see someone, you know, just go to sleep, the first words out of his daughter's mouth was, he's no longer in pain. That just gives you the scope as far as how much he was suffering. So, you know, rest in peace, Mike Halick. Rest in peace. Again, one of the worst gimmicks of all time. But, you know, me personally, I'd rather be remembered for a horrible gimmick than not be remembered at all. That's how I look at it. I got to show you something else. Let's play a game for a minute. For those on audio only, I'll read it to you. For those on video, if you let's have some fun. Let's guess who the asshole is. And no, it's not JD. I know people want me to bash that guy. I'm going to be very, very fair in a little bit. I promise you, I'm not going to make you wait an hour, hour and a half to get into it. Just give me a few minutes. We'll segue into Shotzi. We'll let everybody know what went down on SmackDown, the secondary story behind it. Then we'll talk about what happened yesterday. But for those with video, look on your screen. I want you to guess the asshole. We may have to do this on a weekly basis from now on. Should we do this on a weekly basis? Guess the asshole. I promise you it'll only be people that are famous or people that we should know in wrestling. This person in wrestling has been in wrestling for several decades, was a prominent star on television, especially in the 90s and the 2000s. He posts this on Twitter, And I blocked out, I will reveal who it is, but let's see if you could figure out who it is. This person writes, "Hello, wrestling fans. Just a heads up. I will finish up obligations on my next two appearances. I won't say where or when until the day of the event, because the LGBTQ plus XYZ nut jobs like to threaten promoters for booking me. As of today, I will no longer be taking any further public bookings for the foreseeable future. Tired of being booked, then canceled due to my political positions. Thank you." Who do you think that is? Somebody said Val Venus. Somebody said Drake Wirtz. Drake Wirtz was not a WWE or a WCW or an ECW superstar. Impact Wrestling from the 90s and the 2000s. Well, Impact wasn't around until 2002. Under the banner NWA TNA. All right. Let's. This doesn't need suspense. Yes, it is Sean Morley, a.k.a. Val Venus. Listen, you know, you could, in my opinion, you know, you could have a certain viewpoint. I just feel you'd be a little respectful about it. You know, if you're a little respectful, I think even if people disagree with you, at the end of the day, people that are level-headed will say, listen, I don't agree with what this motherfucker says, but you know what? He's very respectable about it. Sean Morley is just very, very abrasive. And not for nothing. Like, I look at a picture of him now. Like, I watch On Patrol Live on the weekends, watching fuck-ups get arrested, male, female, black, white. You know, it doesn't matter. And to me, he just looks like one of those hicks, you know, in southern Texas, you know. And remember, the shit he said about Nyla Rose early on when AEW first started. You know, I just thought that that was utter disrespect. If you feel that Nyla Rose should not be competing in the women's division, you know, there's a respectful way of going about it. And this guy just, you know, you reap what you sow. I mean, honestly, if you act like a dirtbag, expect dirtbags to act that way towards you in return. I know, look, I was brought up that way. I'm sure a lot of you were brought up that way as well. My dad used to tell me you don't justify bad behavior with bad behavior. But unfortunately, in this day and age, act like an asshole, you will be treated like an asshole. So it looks like he will be out of pro wrestling for the foreseeable future in some capacity. Good, you know, grow your weed business, you know, smoke and stay on planet, you know, Matarazza stand. You know, that's how I look at it. Oh, I'm going to piss somebody off now. I have to share it with you. And in no way, shape, or form am I making fun of anybody. But it's kind of mind-blowing. Does anybody remember the football player that I put side-by-side with Karrion Kross? And they look like twin fucking brothers. The football player blew me away. I should have prepared the picture so you could see them side-by-side again. But, you know, the guy is a complete doppelganger of Karrion Kross. Maybe someone could pull up his name so you could look it up for reference. We got another one. And honestly, if you remember the Karrion Kross doppelganger and how crazy, like if you would have, listen, if you would have bumped into him on the street, the football player, you probably would have said, hey, can I have your autograph? Wear Scarlet. That's how much he looks like him. Someone I know in the chat room will post it in a minute. I'll give you a shout out as well. But we got another one that is, it blew me the fuck away. I mean, blew me away. And when I looked up pictures for reference and comparison, it blew me away even more. I wish somebody would post the name before I show you the next doppelganger, because this one takes the cake. Trust me. I'm not even hyping this up to be, you know, I'm not overhyping it. Payne Durham. Thank you, Michael Gonzalez. Payne Durham. Spelled PayneDurham. Look up Payne Durham. If you're watching this on a replay, pause it. Go look up Payne Durham. And you'll be like, holy shit. Fucking Karrion Kross. Well. I watched the Adrian Adonis Dark Side of the Ring. I don't watch many Dark Side of the Rings. I just feel that a lot of them are very, very one-sided, very, very sloppy. I did see the Junkyard Dog one, even though I insisted on all of you that I wasn't going to watch it because they were probably just going to talk about how the guy was, you know, an alcoholic and a drug addict, and, you know, he died way too early, and, you know, that's the whole story. You know, yeah. It just, like Jim Cornette said, that they had a good idea as far as Junkyard Dog. They didn't know how to execute it. The Adrian Adonis one was very good. Was it necessary? You minus the fight between him and Dan Spivey, and there's really, you know, it's tragedy. Adrian Adonis died way too soon. Died in a car accident. You know, it sucks. He died in a car accident. But if you take away everybody in wrestling, mostly everybody, did drugs in the 80s, did coke and everything else. You see wrestlers openly admit it now. If you just take away the Dan Spivey fight, I mean, he died in a car accident. Do you do an entire episode leading up to that? No. But I liked what I saw. His wife, what's her name? I got her name over here. Bea Frank. His wife was on it. I feel for her. I feel for the daughters. I mean, one thing that came across, I want everybody to notice, one thing that did come across positive about that Adrian Adonis episode is that no matter how much he partied, no matter how much drugs he took, no matter how much he got into it with people and sometimes took liberties in the ring, when it came to family life, never, never took it out on his family. Never, you know, he was the ideal husband, ideal father. And that's awesome. That came out through the show. But when I saw this, I was like, I have to share it with everybody. My friends, this is Adrian Adonis's wife. And listen, people are in their 70s now. All right? It's not making fun of her. I swear on a stack of Bibles, in no way, shape, or form am I making fun of her right now. But this is Adrian Adonis's wife, Bea Frank. And I said to myself, no, it can't be. I was like, she looks like somebody. She looks like somebody. And I'm like, no. And then when I looked up the pictures, down to the hair, down to the eyes, down to, come on. I thought I was looking at Caitlyn Jenner. Is that a fucking doppelganger or is that a doppelganger? Seriously. And listen, again, anybody out there that thinks that this is taking a shot at Caitlyn Jenner or LGBTQ or anything like that, you're the one that's the problem. Because just like Karrion Kross and Payne Durham, I present you Bea Frank and Caitlyn Jenner. They look alike. That's all that this is about. They look alike. That's pretty wild, man. I saw that and I was like, blah, blah, blah. It's amazing. Especially, like I said, you look right down to the hair, the eyelashes. Caitlyn Jenner's eyes are a little bit more slanted, but even the cheekbones, the nose, the mouth, the neck. I was like, that's crazy, man. That is crazy. So I just figured I'd share it with you. All right. Let's talk about Shotzi Blackheart for a minute. And by the way, thank you everybody for the feedback the last month or two about the SmackDown recaps. You know, people don't want a match by match, segment by segment recap. They want overall thoughts and opinions. And that's how we're going to handle it tonight. And we may even go that route on Monday. And that's old school DTKC show. So, you know, sometimes the way you advertise something, you kind of feel like you got to deliver a certain way. I don't want to put SmackDown thoughts, but something happened yesterday on SmackDown. And then we'll talk about my tweet that pissed people off yesterday. Unbelievable, pissed people off. All right. Yesterday on SmackDown, Bayley beat Zelina Vega pretty much in no time. And after the match is over, as Bayley and Io Sky are going up the rampway, we see Shotzi Blackheart on the Titantron. And she's sitting like almost like a yoga position. And, you know, she's got something in her hand. And she's, listen, Shotzi, going back to her NXT days, you know, her attitude, her style, you know, we always thought, you know, a little bit, unhinged might be the right word. Just in this day and age, WWE doesn't like to go that route all that much. I think Nikki Cross is probably the perfect example of that. You know, a lot of people want to see old school Nikki Cross from the NXT days. And I think with WWE, especially with mental health and stuff like that, like they're very, very careful of having a character labeled a certain way. But this is about control. That's why this really worked yesterday. Shotzi is basically talking about what Bayley and Io Sky did to her last week. And the funny thing is, without getting sidetracked, you all feel like WWE is forcing a little bit too much of Io Sky as a heel. I mean, we had that tease for quite a while that she was splitting with Bayley. And if you really read between the lines how she interacts with certain people, she's coming off more as a heel right now. And yes, when the stuff backfires with Bayley, she gets a little bit upset. But even the Shotzi segment, you know, this makes Io Sky and come off as a bigger heel. And who knows? You might end up seeing Bayley and Shotzi or Io and Shotzi. I don't know. But Shotzi's basically talking about getting her hair cut last week, and she's like, you think you control me? You think, yeah, I'm in control. But as she's doing it, she's like unhinged. You know, when someone says, I'm in control, damn it! You know, like when someone's in control, but they're not in control. And she takes the razor and she says, you want me to show you how in control I am? And she starts cutting her own hair. And we're watching this and we're like, you know, she, her character, listen, a lot of people thought we were getting Bianca Belair, NXT Bianca Belair. Remember 3-4 weeks ago? Oh my God, I see that Bianca Belair from NXT. And, oh, my God, they're bringing back that attitude. That, yeah, that kind of, like, went away the last couple of weeks. But Shotzi, they're finally letting Shotzi, you know, go into that dark side a little bit further. And she cut all her hair off yesterday. And while this is going on, you know, you see Bayley, and Bayley is concerned. And I'm watching it on TV. And if you think of Samoa Joe, whenever Joe is in a match and he's against someone that you want to see get their ass kicked, what do people say? Joe is gonna kill you. Joe is gonna kill you. So me, I'm watching this yesterday, and in my head, I'm like, Shotzi's gonna shave you. And then I was like, well, that might not come out the right way. Dirty minds will probably think of something else. But, you know, this could lead to Bayley maybe getting a haircut. And not for nothing, if you kind of look, she is like growing her hair a little bit longer than usual. So I wonder if this is going to lead to Bayley getting a little bit of a haircut. But there's something more to this story. And I want to, which is most important, make you aware of it if you want to contribute or spread the word. Spreading the word is just as important. I was thinking, since maybe we have a week to hype it up, maybe next weekend, any super chats that come in, I will put it all towards the GoFundMe that I'm about to tell you about. And we've done that in the past. I'm very transparent. You see it for yourself, you know, when we do this. But after Shotzi shaved her head yesterday, you know, A lot of people out there immediately thought, okay, what's one of the things physically that we love about Shotzi? Her long hair, even if it's extensions, green hair. You know, she's got a unique look about herself. You shave her head, you feel like, oh, that kind of reminds you of Serena Deeb with the Straight Edge Society. You take that away, you know, you kind of taking a little bit of identity. Not everybody liked it yesterday. But one thing is for sure. 98% of you out there, including me, had no idea what I'm about to show you. Shotzi, her sister, this is her sister. Sean, they use Sean Blackheart, by the way, online. She has been battling liver cancer. And, you know, liver cancer is very rare. It's a type of cancer that chemo cannot cure alone. She had to undergo a hepatectomy, I think it's called. She had part of her liver removed. And I think she also has to get some type of radiation or chemo. This was put on a few forums back in February. Nobody reported it. I didn't talk about it either because I had no idea. Shotzi's sister is battling cancer. Shotzi's sister is very young. Was she in her 20s, early 20s at most? So Shotzi yesterday shaved her head in tribute to her sister. And about 20 minutes after her segment on TV, she posted, "I love you, sister. You are my inspiration." So she did this for her sister. Now, what I did was, there was a GoFundMe that's been open since February for her expenses, her recovery, her AIDS. You know, not insurance doesn't cover everything, obviously. So what I did was, because the link is very, very long, I went on Tiny URL and I made an abbreviated link and I posted it on Twitter yesterday. I posted the link. It's tinyurl.com/helpshotzisis, all one word, help Shotzi sis. If you go there, that is the GoFundMe. It had about 10,000 in donations up until last night. As of this morning, I think it was up to 12 or 13,000. But I made that simpler link so people could remember it. So if you could spread the word, that would be great. And like I said, I think what we'll do is next weekend, any super chats that come in, we'll bunch them all together, and whatever that adds up to, I'll put it on the GoFundMe. You'll see my name. And, you know, unfortunately, I can't put Don Tony's family, but you'll see the name. All right. So I posted that yesterday. Now, within a minute or two, I want to make something perfectly clear. We're not going to drag this on, but I just want to make a point, make something perfectly clear. 98% of people out there had no idea about Shotzi's sister battling liver cancer. I could not find one wrestling news site that reported it in the last 6 months. Zero. Zero. I'm not a reporter. If I want to get some news for all of you, if I want to get the answer of something, yes, then I will look into it for all of you. I opine. I react. Okay? So when, you know, I say the things that I say. Understand that, you know, I'm not a journalist. There's a big difference between someone who expresses their opinions, does an opinion show, a discussion show, and someone who actually is a journalist. I'm not a journalist. I stopped doing wrestling news probably 13 or 14 years ago. So, but within a minute or two after this segment aired on TV, still about 98% of people out there had no idea that her sister was battling cancer, and that's why she shaved her head. JD from New York posted this. They had Shotzi shave all her head off. My God. Guaranteed that's a Vince McMahon call. There are just some creative decisions that you don't make. Most of the time, that's one of them. Hashtag SmackDown. Now, that was written, like I said, about 2 minutes after the segment ended. Okay? So when I posted the tiny URL and the pictures and let everybody know about the cancer, go on my wall if I'm lying. Within a minute, a few people took my post about Shotzi's sister battling liver cancer and posted on JD's wall, throwing it in his face. Okay, that's fine. Don't use me for that. All right, because I didn't post it to throw it in people's faces that thought it was a storyline or creative decision. I posted it so people could maybe spread the word or help. On my wall, a minute after that, you could go look for yourself on the thread where I posted the tiny URL. Somebody says, hey, DT, what do you have to say about what JD wrote and what I just showed you all? And I'm like, man, I'm not fucking playing this game. So I went on Twitter yesterday and I posted the following tweet. Now, I want you to all keep in mind that my tweet was posted at 9:42 p.m., which was only, 10 minutes, 15 minutes after Shotzi's segment. And at that time, JD had posted only one tweet, the one I just showed you. So right away, people are going after JD, who had no idea that her sister was battling cancer. I had no idea. 99% of you out there had no idea either. So when I wrote what I wrote, there was only one tweet by JD. So I wrote this. And I wrote it because people on my wall already, what do you think about what JD said, and using my tweet to throw it at him. So I wrote, these days, I usually stay out of people's shit and focus on my own backyard. If you notice, I don't get involved in anybody's shit anymore. But in defense of JD from New York's tweet, in defense of his creative tweet, not JD, the overall WWE criticizer, as some people say, the AEW sympathizer, the person, the man, the myth, the legend, the character, the commentator, in defense of his fucking tweet, one tweet, this tweet, in defense of that tweet, he did not know Shotzi's sister had cancer. Neither did most of you. I didn't know about it either. Those using this singular tweet to bash JD, go touch grass. What is my point? The guy didn't fucking know. Instead of going after this guy, and because you hate him, you want to use that tweet to turn this against anti-cancer, anti-Shotzi, anti-Shotzi sister, this and that. Instead, not go touch grass, go outside and literally touch grass or get a life. How's about maybe letting everybody know about her sister's GoFundMe? Letting everybody know about her sister's situation. Reposting it. If you have $5, maybe you contribute it. $5 may not sound like a lot. Get 1,000 people to do it. That's why do you think the Conan drive ended up being successful? We must have had about 6,000 donations that were either $1 or $2. Legit. So instead of taking, which was at that time, an ignorant tweet about creative, not knowing about Shotzi's sister's cancer, use that time and maybe help. That was my point. That's it. That is it. After that, I watched SmackDown, started preparing for the next day, and I'm chilling. I go on my wall, and not only am I getting ripped apart for it, people are showing me tweets where JD doubles down and says, for all of you that are mad at me, fuck you. I don't fucking care. Am I his dad? Am I his handler? Am I his principal? I posted about the first tweet. I don't give a shit about tweet number 2, 3, 4, 5, 10. He's a big boy. He can handle himself. But because I had the nerve and defend the first tweet, everything he said after that, how could you defend this asshole? Do you see what he did? What do you want me to say? Wow, I had no idea he wrote all this other stuff after. JD, wow, you're a prick. Go fuck yourself. I don't worry about my own backyard. I just react. This is why I stay out of shit. People don't look at the timestamp. And to try to help some of the simpler people out there yesterday, I wrote one extra tweet before I went to bed. Oh, man, I should start. I don't want to spend time reading some people's tweets on my wall. You go look for yourself. But when I went to bed, I wrote an update to maybe, you know, like clear this. But then I realized nobody wants to see the update. People want to act ignorant, so they have a reason to criticize me for this. What I wrote, and this is very important, this is what I wrote last night right before I went to bed. I said, I'm heading to bed, but just a reminder to some. What I posted earlier was moments after JD's initial tweet. That was before he knew about Shotzi's sister. I have no interest to sit and monitor what is said afterwards. I have nothing but respect for Shotzi and what she did. Cancer sucks. It's hit my home before. My family has battled cancer. Some of my family members have died from cancer. My Uncle Santo, earlier this year, died from cancer. My dad had prostate cancer. My mom had breast cancer. My mom had ovarian cancer. My mom had fucking pig valve in her heart. I'm dealing with prostate issues. You know, I mean, it's all over my family. So I know how that feels. I shaved my head for St. Baldrick's Foundation years ago. You've seen the pictures of me and my dog with my fat, bald head. I don't post that so people can say, oh, DT, you're such a good person. My point is, I don't take what happened to Shotzi's sister lightly. And I'm not going to sit here and crucify JD on a cross because of all the shit he said afterwards. My tweet was about what he initially said. That's it. Nothing else. I choose to maybe try to help Shotzi's sister in some way. I don't know her, but I know what that's done for my family with cancer. So I choose to go forward. Everybody that is on my wall, that is writing the shit that you're writing, go ahead. You know, you some of you that really want to go like, you know, some sexual stuff, yeah, I'll block you. I block like 3 or 4 people already. But for those out there that are looking at my wall, if you want to criticize me, go right ahead. But just remind yourself that what I wrote was right after the first tweet, not after his second, third, fourth, tenth tweet, not after his podcast. I have nothing to say about any of that stuff. My comment was about the initial comment about the creative. That's it. You don't like JD? Fine. You don't like me? Fine. But to turn around and try to twist my shit into something that it's not, no. Not interested. Not interested. You just, honestly, you're just pissing in the wind. So, you know, I said what I said, and I move on. That's it. So, all right. Wow, we got a bunch of super shout-outs over here. Who sent this earlier? Let me see. Okay, well, I don't know how this one's going to come across. Lascelles Williams says, you sent $20. To say that JD is an asshole. That is all. Hey, look, that is your opinion. I was just trying to write something in defense of his tweet. there's a lot of shit about JD's viewpoints in wrestling that I disagree with. It's obvious. But I just tried to post a tweet trying to say, hey, man, you know, you want to go after him, that's fine. But this situation, because he didn't know about it, maybe help Shotzi's sister instead of just trying to crucify a podcaster. That was my point of the whole thing. And obviously it opens the floodgates. It's this kind, you know, that's why I hated the Matt Hardy, Jim Cornette, Brian Last thing last week. Matt Hardy, you know, didn't understand. This is not criticizing Matt Hardy. I mean, all three of them were wrong. But what Matt Hardy didn't understand is when he calls the Cornette cult toxic, all right, not only is he, sometimes when you put a rat trap out, try to catch rats, Matt, sometimes your own pets will try to get the bait as well. And basically, all of the anti-Cornette and the pro-AEW and the pro-elite and the pro-Matt Hardy clan did just as bad as what the Cornette clan supposedly does. You know, if you're going to call somebody out for being an asshole, here's a piece of advice. Don't be an asshole yourself. It's kind of like Sean Morley, Val Venus. Hello, wrestling fans. I'm not going to conventions because LGBTQ people keep getting my ass shut down. Well, maybe don't act like a dick towards the LGBTQ. You don't agree with it? Fine. Be a little respectful about it. That's not my style. Well, then you reap what you sow. You want to criticize the guy, go right ahead. I'm not going to tell you what to do and what not to do. But if you're going to call someone out for being an asshole, don't be an asshole yourself. That's all I have to say about that. Shout out to, why is this not coming up? Someone is telling me, keep up the great work. I don't know why it's not coming up, but all right. William, is this William Erickson? Yes, William Erickson. Thank you very much with the five spot, my friend. Keep up the great work. Much love, much love. Rizzo sending in a 10 spot saying he's personal. Okay, it's working out. Personally, I'm not a fan of JD. I think he verbally attacks wrestlers, fans, but when those same people go after him, he blocks them or cries about it. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not disagreeing with you. All I'm saying is that, you know, we live in a free world, most of us. You know, you act the way you want. You block people. You add people. You rant. You criticize. You praise. You know, do whatever you want. Understand, you know, there's ramifications in what you say and do. That's why I've kind of changed over the years. I understand that, you know, certain things that you say or do have consequences. I don't disagree with what you're saying. All I'm saying is that it seems like people out there, because I had the audacity to say, hey, man, in this case, look, he didn't know about his situation. Instead of crucifying the guy over an ignorant tweet about creative, which was his rightful opinion, even if you don't like it, you know, maybe use this time to maybe like try to like spread a little awareness that Shotzi's sister could use a little bit of help or support. That's all I was doing. That's it. And people seem to not be happy with that. And won't be happy unless I crucify him. And I'm not, I'm just not. That's how I feel about it. And Rizzo with a 10 spot. That's why I like what I like about Kev, me, and Jason, Solid Monster. You guys are fair in your criticism. You go all back and forth with people you disagree with. Yeah, I mean, that's how you got to do things. You know, that's why I do have some controversial opinion sometimes. I do it in a respectful way. And most people, you know, understand. You know, like most people out there are pretty level-headed. You know, even though I got the lash back on my wall, understand it's just maybe like 100 people. You know, there are thousands and thousands of people that are looking at what was said, and they get why it was said. It's a very, very small group of people. But now you see why I stay out of shit. I sit back and I watch people fighting. friends of mine feuding with people, wrestlers, other podcasters, journalists, and I stay out of it. Because honestly, what am I going to do? And yesterday kind of reminded me, like, okay, this is why I stay out of shit like this. So, thank you, William, again, for the 5-spot early. I really do appreciate that. Much love, my friend. We're going to segue into some SmackDown because we got a few things to talk about. I think I'm going to use Dream 101's Super Chat. MVP is what made the Hurt Business great, not Bobby Lashley. Oh, I absolutely agree. MVP is the glue that put it all together. MVP is a very underrated, underappreciated manager. Maybe if he had a little bit more TV time, which I think that will return now. But something I wrote yesterday on Twitter as well, and I think Dream 101 is kind of like thinking what I'm thinking. Did you all see that segment that went down yesterday on SmackDown with Bobby Lashley? You know, we were just talking about Bobby Lashley last week. Bobby Lashley made his return yesterday, but not inside the ring. Yesterday, by the way, Bobby Lashley looks smaller than Montez Ford, the way the camera was positioned. The Street Profits are outside. And Bobby Lashley shows up in a limousine wearing a nice black outfit. Montez Ford sporting a, you know, little suit jacket. Almost like a turtleneck and pants. And look at his tag team partner, Angelo Dawkins, wearing a sweatshirt. That might be something interesting down the line. Bobby Lashley is inviting the Street Profits in the limousine. And when I saw that yesterday, my immediate thought was, oh, that'd be fucking cool if MVP decides to have Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits form the Hurt Business 2.0. And at the same time, even though Omos, even though Cedric and Shelton are not technically the Hurt Business, but I could see just in a figurative way that Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits could attack Omos, Cedric Alexander, and Shelton Benjamin, leave them laying. Maybe we even get a possible SummerSlam match, which would be pretty cool. Nice little rub for all the guys. And maybe have Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits versus Omos, Cedric, and Shelton. A lot of people, including yours truly, have been saying for a little while now that I would like to see Omos turn babyface. I think Omos, a little bit of that personality comes out. And when I saw this segment yesterday, all I kept thinking is, motherfucker, MVP's inside that limo, isn't he? And they're putting him in there, and MVP's going to propose, we reform the Hurt Business, and Omos, Cedric, and Shelton are not happy about it. What about us? Oh, yeah, no, you're a part of it. It's all, I don't want to, like, go NWO levels. You know, when the Nasty Boys thought they were going to be part of the NWO, and then, like, why are you wearing our shirt? But what do you all think? What do you all think? Street Profits and Bobby Lashley, the new Hurt Business managed by MVP? I think it's pretty fucking cool. I'm a little surprised that they would consider turning Montez Ford into a heel. This doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to be heels. But you almost feel like if they do form the Hurt Business, you got to show a little sympathy for Cedric, Shelton, and Omos. So something to think about, everyone. We might just be brainstorming, and it might go absolutely nowhere, but something to think about. Something else that happened yesterday. We had a fatal four-way. This was the United States Invitational. And yes, I have gone by a moniker since 1997 on my hotlines, on my shows. It used to be on my intros. You'll remember this. I used to always say, I don't want to be first. I want to be right. That's why, if you notice, I almost never, maybe once a decade, like, I end up wrong. I'd rather wait few extra minutes. Now, let me say this about Shotzi's sister. This is something I wanted to say before. I want this something everybody think about. When people say to me or to anyone else, you should have done your research before blaming it on creative, okay. Does that mean that anytime something happens in wrestling on television that could have a secondary meaning behind it, that you have to do a whole bunch of research, like Shotzi shaves her head? Oh, maybe she's doing it for cancer. Maybe she's doing it to donate her hair. Let me do research. Like, you can't take a situation with any wrestler and say, oh, they put this person on TV in this position because somebody must have died. Somebody must have gotten sick. Somebody must have done this. That's not research. That's not. And people, it's called reactions, everyone. This is not to defend JD, but there is thousands of podcasters that do this. Live reaction. Think about everybody who was doing a live reaction of SmackDown yesterday. The minute they saw that segment, I guarantee you 99.9% of them out there didn't say, you know, maybe she cut her hair because somebody's got cancer or something. I guarantee you, when you do a live reaction, you're reacting at that very specific moment. I don't like doing live reactions much because many times you could get it wrong. But that's what live reactions are. You know, when people say, oh, he should have waited, he live reacts on everything. I don't. A lot of people do, a lot of people don't. That's what live reaction is. When you decide, I'm going to react on every little thing, yeah, be prepared. You're going to get a couple of things wrong. Oh, why are they? Here's a good one from SmackDown yesterday. Here's a good one. And I got to show you this. All right, this happened yesterday on SmackDown. Charlotte Flair, Bianca Belair to open up SmackDown. All right. Now, later on in the night, Asuka is going to defend her women's championship against Bianca Belair. Charlotte and Bianca make a pact that they're going to face each other at SummerSlam. So all the people with the live reactions, that's fucked up. They're treating Asuka like shit. How could you have Charlotte and Bayley at SummerSlam? What about Asuka? Blah, 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 blah. And as I'm watching this, I'm saying to myself, the match is going to end in a clusterfuck. Charlotte will probably cost Bianca, and this will lead to a three-way at SummerSlam. But that initial spurter moment reaction, what the fuck are they doing that for? Well, if you didn't say anything and you waited half an hour, you would have gotten your answer. Here's another one that is awesome. This is probably the best example of them all on SmackDown. This. The Fatal 4-Way United States Invitational. Four people battling it out in the ring. And they're going to start determining who's going to be the next number one contender for Austin Theory's championship. And they advertised yesterday Grayson Waller versus Santos Escobar versus Butch versus AJ Styles. Again, live reaction. Instead of people waiting to find out, oh, there's more than one Fatal 4-Way match. This is not a number one contenders match. This is going to determine one participant. And next week, they're going to have another Fatal 4-Way to determine the other participant. And then they'll have a match. And then the winner in that match takes on Austin Theory at SummerSlam. Instead of people waiting, when that was announced yesterday, you had thousands of people. The fuck? The fuck? LA Knight's not in it? The fuck? Why are they doing this to LA Knight? Nothing against Butch. Why is Butch getting... The fuck? And meanwhile, I'm looking at this and I'm saying to myself, it's a tournament. I know it's only a two-week tournament, but it's a tournament. This is not the... But that's what happens when people give immediate live reactions. Many times, they get it wrong. So what happens later in the night? Well, we find out next week's four participants. And lo and behold, Sheamus, Cameron Grimes, I have no idea why Cameron Grimes is in there. He hasn't done nothing yet on the main roster. Rey Mysterio and LA Knight. LA Knight is in this. And a lot of people think that LA Knight is going to get that opportunity next week. I'm not that sure. I hope so. If you've been following this show, we said it several weeks ago. Guys, remember our nice, fun conversation on one of the other shows? Why Austin Theory did not win the Money in the Bank briefcase? Why? Because if he would have won that briefcase as a SmackDown wrestler, he would have done absolutely nothing with it towards Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns right now has to deal with Jey Uso and eventually Jimmy Uso. And then down the line, maybe Solo Sikoa. What if he would have done? He would have come out there, you know, and cut a promo on who? On who? If he shows up on Raw and cuts a promo on Seth Rollins, he's not a SmackDown guy. You're not going to have him show up on Raw every week. That fucks up all the other storylines. You know, winning the briefcase is fine. You got to think about, okay, now what? That's why you got the same assholes that lied to you for 6 months about him winning a briefcase are now saying LA Knight's the front runner. This is how they're writing it. WWE Creative is seriously considering LA Knight to win the Royal Rumble. This is what's happening now. If you remember a week or two ago when we talked about why LA Knight did not win the briefcase, what did I say? United States Championship. That is the only championship right now that LA Knight could put his hands on. He's not winning a tag team championship, despite everybody that was telling you that Rick Boogs and LA Knight were now going to be a regular tag team, which was just asinine stupid. We all knew that that was going to be a 1 week. But again, live reaction. LA Knight was not going to go for the Intercontinental Championship. Gunther would have fucking chopped his sunglasses. They would have been on the back of his forehead. It would look like a coconut with sunglasses on it. He ain't facing Gunther. He's not winning a tag title. He ain't winning anything else but the United States Championship. Easy peasy. So next week, I wonder if we're going to get Rey Mysterio versus Santos Escobar in a friendly, you know, competition to lead to maybe. But I'm rooting for LA Knight. Obviously, I want LA Knight versus Austin Theory. It's happening. It should happen at SummerSlam. That is a gigantic platform for LA Knight to win. By the way, I know a lot of you out there were upset yesterday at the treatment towards Jey Uso. Jey Uso came out there, was very, very upset about Roman Reigns not answering his challenge. If you follow the show, we talked about Roman Reigns' schedule. Roman Reigns scheduled to be on TV next week. Roman Reigns will accept the challenge. It'll happen at SummerSlam. But Jey Uso yesterday, when he comes out to cut a promo, he's greeted with what chance? The interesting thing about it is the fans yesterday were not trolling what with the what chants. They were not trolling Jey Uso. When Jay's like, me and my brother, what? We stick together, what? We love our family, what? We love our aunts, what? We love our brothers, we don't love... They weren't trolling Jey Uso. They just wanted... Again, this is my opinion. Don't rip me for it. Well, you can rip me for it. I mean, that doesn't mean that my opinion is right. In my opinion, the fans just wanted to be part of the segment with Jey. That's why they were doing it. But take note that a new what chant is being developed right before our very eyes. And I will make a prediction maybe a month from now, 6 months from now, but sometime down the line, we're not going to have to deal with two chants. When you want to troll around, see, right now the fans don't know what else to say when they react to someone they like is cutting a promo. So the only go-to they think of is the what chants. Remember when Steve Austin used to go out there and cut a promo? And he would be like, I'm going to go to the bar. What? I'm going to go eat wings. What? I'm going to have a beer. What? Then I'm going to have more wings. What? Then I'm going to have potato skins. What? Then I'm going to have more beer. They weren't trolling him. They just wanted to be part of it. That's what that felt like yesterday with Jey Uso. But, yeah. Yeah! You're getting it. That is going to be the new chant. It's going to be a... I'm telling you, remember this. There's going to be a clear-cut dual chant based on if you're trolling someone or you like someone. When people start realizing that with LA Knight, as fans go with him, and we kind of got a little taste of it yesterday when LA Knight came out to the confront, you know, because we had Santos Escobar defeat Grayson Waller, Butch, and AJ Styles. We'll get to that match in a little bit because something really happened yesterday I really loved about that match. He came out there and cut a promo and said that that he's going to win next week and he's going to take on Austin Theory. But as he was cutting his promo, the fans were going, yeah, yeah. And LA Knight's like, you know, at the end of the day, yeah, I'm going to win. Yeah, I'm going to beat Austin Theory. So in the future, I don't know how long it's going to take. It's got to happen organically. But when fans want to troll someone, they'll do what? When fans want to have fun with someone that they like, they're going to go, yeah. Jey Uso cuts a promo 6 months from now, those what's turned into yes. It's going to happen. Be prepared. Be one of the first to figure it out. We all know that they're doing it to LA Knight. It's going to continue. And it's going to branch out to others. And it's going to be funny the first night that happens in AEW. It will happen. Trust me. By the way, we'll talk a little bit about AEW in a little bit. A lot of you want my thoughts on Nick Wayne making his Dynamite debut the way that they did it. And I'm going to give you my honest opinion in a little bit. But Jey Uso, not happy yesterday. Getting the what chance, but going with it. Had a great segment. And you had, Paul Heyman. You know, this is going to start, this is designed to start making people think that Jimmy Uso may not be happy with Jay. That Jimmy might have some problems with Jay. Will Jimmy turn on Jay? I don't expect that. I don't think anybody, that I wouldn't put it, it's not on the Gigi Dolan, JC Jane levels, but nobody wants to see the Usos feuding. But they may have to go that route to set up a fatal four-way. Remember the fatal four-way that Kevin and I talked about a couple of weeks ago? I don't know when that could happen. Payback, you know, Roadblock. I don't know. Something tells me Roadblock is going to be focused around Cody Rhodes more than anything else. But that's what seeds were planted yesterday. So when you have Solo Sikoa and Paul Heyman both blaming Jay for what happened to Jimmy, you know, that's to give people online, you know what? I think Jimmy's not happy with Jay. And that's interesting. That's interesting. What was interesting yesterday also, did you see this? When was the last time you saw Paul Heyman take any type of a bump at all? If you look on your screen again, he got super kicked. And they even teased a chair shot. Everybody's going balls out for this storyline. Paul Heyman taking bumps now. Got to be a little careful. You know, his shape, his size, his age. You know, the mat is not concrete. So, you know, but that was a pretty good segment yesterday. And little by little, they're getting rid of Sikoa, if you notice. When Paul Heyman announces Solo sometimes, you feel like it's an incomplete sentence. I'm here with Solo. And then you like Sokoa. More and more. And look at his shirt. Just a Solo. So little by little, they're trying to like, they're not going to permanently get rid of his name, but more times than not, Solo. Just Solo. Solo. All right. Funny thing that happened yesterday with the four-way. Austin Theory was on commentary. Michael Cole, because they want to be a little bit more, not realistic, they want to be reflective of the internet wrestling community. And the IWC has been very, very audible about Austin Theory's current reign. And as I've said, it's not necessarily his fault. WWE has chosen to use him pretty sparingly on television since WrestleMania. But Michael Cole with the line of the night yesterday saying, the fans are chanting, this is awesome. I never heard that in any of your matches. I thought that was fucking funny yesterday. Santos Escobar won. And in hindsight, that might have been the only decision to make, because I don't think anybody, with all due respect, I don't think anybody out there wants to see Butch versus Austin Theory at SummerSlam. They wouldn't mind Butch versus Austin Theory at SmackDown, but SummerSlam, that sounds a little bit inferior. AJ Styles is in the midst of a storyline, whether you like it or not. Grayson Waller, maybe a little bit too soon, you know, to get to that next level. I think what they're doing with Grayson Waller, right? And who knows? Maybe we get Grayson Waller interviewing The Rock at SummerSlam. Because Grayson Waller and The Rock had a little bit of an internet exchange a couple of days ago, and it was mentioned briefly on SmackDown yesterday. Grayson Waller saying that The Rock's family is imploding right before our very eyes, and if The Rock wants a little rub off of me, come get some. We might see the Grayson Waller effect at SummerSlam featuring The Rock. Listen, let this sink in. The Writers Guild strike. I don't really pay that much attention to it, although it's a very serious thing. The actors and actresses going on strike also. You know, I don't want to get into that right now, but my first thought about it is, well, what the fuck else are you going to do if the writers are on strike? You know, so that's number one. Number two, I don't hear any of them putting a pool of money together and try to, like, you know, give a little bit of extra to these guys. So them going on strike, it's almost like the ones that told Zelina Vega with Gabrielle Carteris. Do you remember that time? We called that shit out from day one. Gabrielle Carteris, Zelina, we hear you. We had a productive meeting. You did shit. You just wanted to give this. They did nothing. Just like Andrew Yang. Remember Andrew Yang shit? Everybody in the pro wrestling community, they want to interview. Meanwhile, Andrew Yang sitting somewhere in a restaurant going, oh, these stupid wrestling fans. They believe everything that I say. I ain't doing nothing. I'm not doing a damn thing for pro wrestling. They did nothing. These motherfuckers only care about themselves. So you see all these actors in action. How can we make ourselves look really, really good? I have an idea. Let's all go on strike. We're not doing anything anyway, but let's go on strike. That's my honest take. I'm in support of the Writers Guild. The actors and actresses, I see fake. I see fake. They're the same ones. And you're going to move to Canada. But with The Rock. The Rock ain't doing nothing right now except working out. And Young Rock got canceled, even though the 18 to 34 was not all that bad. You know, The Rock's got some free time. We may see The Rock at SummerSlam. Grayson Waller effect. Not saying it's going to happen, but it could happen. All right. AJ Styles did not win that match yesterday. Because of Karrion Kross, and disclaimer, everyone, no tarot cards were used during this beatdown, this ass-kicking of Gallows and Anderson by Karrion Kross. Yesterday on SmackDown, during the match, the Titantron lights up, and Kross is trying to get AJ Styles' attention. Gallows is laid out. Anderson is getting choked out, and Karrion Kross with a simple tick-tock. No tarot cards were used in this beatdown. Listen, I like Gallows and Anderson. Not against them. But get rid of the fucking tarot cards. If they burn those tarot cards, seriously. Kross yesterday, I loved this segment. I loved this. Listen, it's going to take time, man. It's going to take time. WWE, their biggest mistake. And by the way, just so you know, you probably get a kick out of this. This past Tuesday, Kevin and I did a 3-hour episode of the Don, Tony, and Kevin Couch Show. We looked at the NXT and WWE roster. Not every single person, the obvious people we left out, but those, you know, we look over the past 12 months and we look and see whose stock has risen, whose stock has skyrocketed, whose stock has gone down, and whose stock has plummeted. And, you know, it's very interesting feedback. It was such a fun and good show, and the feedback has been so immense that Kevin and I are coming back this Tuesday, and we're going to spend an hour dissecting the AEW roster. With the usual suspects, you know, that we know whose stock has gone up, we don't have to focus on them. But for others, it's going to be really interesting. You look at the past 12 months. Has Hangman Page's stock gone up or gone down? Has Jamie Hayter's stock gone up or gone down? Taya Valkyrie, I know she hasn't been there that long, but, you know, so that's going to be this Tuesday. But I'm going to talk to Kev, who talks to Karrion Kross quite often. We're going to have to go through WWE chain of command, but we're going to see about possibly interviewing Kross in the very near future. And it will not be your typical, what made you get into the wrestling business? No. When we have, we do something that's going to be a conversation. But, you know, with Karrion Kross, the biggest mistake WWE did is simple. When they had him return and Scarlett put the fucking hourglass in front of Roman Reigns and then backed off, you know, in hindsight, Roman Reigns should have left the same way he did when the Usos suggested Solo Sikoa as the tribal chief. Like, they put the hourglass there, and then nothing happened. That's on WWE. That's not on Kross or Scarlett. That's where they went wrong. They set the bar, and they left a whole bunch of fans like, he just fucking came back. Roman Reigns? Why? Where? Like, is this a gift? You know, like, for wearing the helmet? You know, like, the suspenders? Like, nobody, for the most part, thought that it was right timing. And then when it didn't happen, people like, oh, well, WWE came to their senses. That was unnecessary on WWE's part. Unnecessary. So, all right, let's just fill in the blanks with some other stuff that went down yesterday. Pretty Deadly defeating Sheamus and Ridge Holland. Something that I loved about it, something that I hated about it. What I loved about it is Pretty Deadly, you know, like storyline thinking. Ridge Holland, you know, Samoan Spike in the throat a couple of weeks ago. They focused on the neck again. Ridge Holland. Yeah, I wonder if focus. Listen, I know I'm just brainstorming here. Please, this is brainstorming. I wonder if they're fucking up Ridge Holland's neck, you know, as like some subliminal, like, you know, that's for fucking up Big E's neck. I know that's ridiculous, but they keep focusing on Ridge Holland's neck now. Ridge Holland ends up losing, you know, to the I doubt it too. I mean, I'm just saying, like, you know, it's kind of ironic. They put it this way. Does it feel like karma? Like, good for you. Now you see how it feels to have your neck hurt. That's just the crazy out there that would do that. I'm not saying that WWE would do that. But, you know, Pretty Deadly. You know, Wade Barrett said yesterday that Pretty Deadly is a perfect example that you don't judge the book by its cover. Pretty Deadly, I think, has had a fucking awesome run since coming to the main roster. They defeated the Brawling Brutes yesterday. Elton Prince exposed the turnbuckle. Ridge Holland, you know, went neck first into it and got caught with a leg drop onto his neck. So I loved that. Focusing on the neck, pretty deadly, capitalizing. What I did not like was the pin. And again, I know almost everybody out there didn't even pick up on it. He's holding his neck. Hey, stupid. I know you got to hold your neck, but now your shoulder's off the mat. Why is the referee still counting to three? That's the problem with something like that. You know, his shoulder's off the mat. Why is the referee counting to three? I know it's, you know, it's kind of splitting hairs, but, you know, me, I'm a stickler to the detail. Ridge Holland's shoulders were not on the mat. Well, one shoulder was not on the mat. The referee should not have counted. All right, we talked about a few other things that happened already. Asuka defending the women's championship against Bianca Belair. Again, early in the night, Bianca and Charlotte setting up a match at SummerSlam. Everybody, you know, with the live reaction, upset. What are they doing, Asuka? It's going to be a three fucking way at SummerSlam. It's going to be a three way. And last week, Charlotte Flair, Bianca Belair had a front row ticket. This week, Charlotte Flair has a front row ticket. They probably got their tickets from Green Shirt Guy. If you know who that is, go on my Twitter. Or if you don't know who that is, go on Twitter. Go on to Twitter anyway. We had a match yesterday. Charlotte Flair is at ringside. And the match ends in a disqualification. Basically, what ends up happening is Charlotte Flair, yeah, ends up going around ringside. And she unfortunately nails Bianca Belair. She jumped the guardrail. Went to boot Bailey and hit Bianca Belair. Disqualification. So we got the 12-inch version of the shit from last week. Remember last week they tried to cram everything in 90 seconds after the match was called. Then you got Io Sky teasing the cash in. Then you got Charlotte Flair getting involved. Then you got Asuka blowing the mist at Charlotte. Then you got, you know, Bailey kind of fucks up again, and Bianca Belair is pissed off, and Asuka gets out of Dodge, and not for nothing. You know, after a couple of weeks, I'm like, hey, WWE, you realize a lot of people think that Io Sky is turning babyface and she's doing the opposite, and Asuka's supposed to be the heel, and I think people feel like she's the babyface out of all of this. And Charlotte Flair should be the babyface because they haven't turned a heel, but she's acting like a heel. Everything is all upside down. Bayley is probably the only one that has been consistent out of all of this. So that's how that match ended. It was just an absolute clusterfuck. But, you know, it's good to set up, obviously, SummerSlam. The show, I got to be honest with you, the show yesterday really flowed nicely. Next week, Roman Reigns will be on. And remember, next week, they're going to be on FS1. Let me take Asuka and Bianca off. They're going to be on FS1 next week. The rules of engagement. Roman Reigns will appear. We will have on Monday, I'll give you some SmackDown updates. We'll get into the whole lineup. But the road to SummerSlam looking pretty damn solid. Judgment Day. Last week we had the Abbey Road, you know, satire or tribute, I guess, inspiration to the Judgment Day road to SummerSlam. Judgment Day getting all over the place, and that's a good thing. They're getting a lot of TV time, which is needed. They appeared on NXT Tuesday. Monday, I'll get into the breakdown of the ratings. I was a little bit surprised at the number with Trick Williams and Carmelo Hayes taking on Damian Priest and Finn Balor. If you remember last Monday's show, that was the match that I said, and Wes Lee versus Dominic Mysterio is coming. So all the two matches that we thought were going to happen, one has happened and the other one is about to happen. But NXT this week did 671,000, and that is up from last week's 508. Remember, 508 is very low, but that was also the 4th of July holiday. So that happened right on the 4th. So getting 671, yeah, Judgment Day played a role on it, but that main event, I don't have, like I said, Monday I'll get into the breakdown, but that main event rating was a good portion less compared to Seth Rollins versus Bron Breakker. And by the way, Bron Breakker versus Ilya on NXT this week was fucking awesome. I am extremely happy that Ilya is taking on Carmelo Hayes at Great American Bash. And if it was up to me, I'd take that title off of Carmelo Hayes. Nothing against him, but what do you do with Carmelo Hayes afterwards? Who does he feud with? He ain't feuding with Braun again. What do you got? Trick Williams turn on Carmelo Hayes? Like, who does Carmelo Hayes feud with afterwards? Dijak kind of feels like that ship has sailed. Von Wagner? Von Wagner, the only reason why they're doing what they're doing in NXT right now is because he's not getting airtime on the main roster. Isn't he SmackDown? He drafted to SmackDown, but right now they don't have enough time to develop that character. Plus, who is Von Wagner going to throw through tables? Remember, I compared the Von Wagner storyline a couple of weeks ago to Frankenstein. And Von Wagner is acting out like Frankenstein. You know, he feels he's a freak and everybody is showing sympathy for him and he acts out the only way that he knows. That's beautiful storyline. Just not enough time for television for that. That's why even Baron Corbin is burning outfits on NXT and not on mainstream TV. Dynamite this past week did 825,000 viewers. That is down from the week prior's 855. Monday, I will give you the breakdown of the rating. But I know a lot of you out there wanted my thoughts on this kid. Nick Wayne. He is 18 years old. AEW, I guess, brought him aboard when he was 16, way too young to actually perform. Now he's 18. They gave him pretty much a main event on Dynamite. Now, for those that don't know Nick Wayne's background, I'm not going to spend any time on this because honestly, he's 18 years old. All right. Couple of points I want to bring out. He's a very good friends with Darby Allin. That is not a screenshot from AEW. Darby Allin is very, very high on Nick Wayne. And that is why you're seeing the position. Hell, Darby Allin even gave him a hug before his match. All right, people are like, oh, that's his storyline with Swerve Strickland and Darby. It is much deeper than that. He is the son of Buddy Wayne and the grandson of Moondog Ed Moretti. Now, clarify a few things out there. Buddy Wayne. When I say Buddy Wayne, we're not talking about the Memphis wrestling legend, Buddy Wayne. That is not the same Buddy Wayne. The Buddy Wayne that is the father, or you know, who's now deceased, of Nick Wayne, that is your Buddy Wayne. The one from Velocity, the one from Superstars, and that is Ed Moretti on the left. Ed Moretti wrestled in the early 80s. And listen, I don't know exactly their ages, but I do know that Nick Wayne's father, Buddy Wayne, died at 50 years old. Buddy Wayne's father, at 50, means that he wrestled on WWE television when he was around 30. Now, let me try to figure this out. If Buddy Wayne wrestled around 1993 on TV, and Ed Moretti wrestled in the early 80s. If you just try to like roughly go over ages, did Ed Moretti have like Buddy Wayne at 16? Like Buddy Wayne died when at 50. And Nick Wayne, I think, was 16 at the time. So you start adding the ages up. I mean, they must have had their kids extremely, extremely young. But I will say this. I don't know if this is their, you know, what they, you know, like, almost like Charlie Dempsey in NXT. Like a second or a third generation. I mean, obviously, they're not going to tout the second or third generation all that hard because his father and grandfather, with all due respect, were not these gigantic icons in the world of pro wrestling. I get that. But it seems like they, you know, like AEW, you know, they see something special in him. He's very, very close with Darby Allin. And that is a recipe to get an opportunity in AEW. You know, was it like a good human emotional moment to see that on Wednesday? For those who know Nick Wayne's story, for those who know Nick Wayne personally, for those who have worked with Nick Wayne, Wednesday put a smile on your face. For everyday wrestling fans, an 18-year-old kid getting nearly the main event, it closed out with a non-wrestling segment, taking on Swerve Strickland. They have had history. Swerve Strickland and Nick Wayne have wrestled before. That's why Swerve Strickland was chosen to take on Nick Wayne, because Swerve was going to make him look like $1 million, and he did. You know, does Nick Wayne have anything in the ring that is like extra special than what a lot of other flippy guys do? No. So if you're going to get into Nick Wayne, you're going to get into him because of his story leading up to this. But, you know, it was a good moment for him. It was a good moment for his friends, family, fellow wrestlers. As far as casual wrestling fans go, you know, there wasn't a connection. There wasn't a connection. And we've seen AEW do that a lot. Well, you'll see people main evented, you know, main eventing events because it's a feel good moment. They're, you know, they're in their hometown to get the victory when, you know, technically, like, it, let me put it this way: if Zelina Vega took on Rhea Ripley for AEW in Puerto Rico, Zelina Vega would have won. If Mustafa Ali took on Gunther in AEW in Saudi Arabia, there's a good chance that Mustafa Ali could have won. Or there would have been some major, major clusterfucks. I'm happy for the kid, but he's 18 years old. Like, you, to me, he's got years that he's got to put out there. Putting out there and having Swerve Strickland have this hard of a time, the right person won. Absolutely does Nick Wayne get the loss. There's no question with that. You know, it's, you could compare it almost to, like, you know, somebody who's up and coming in NXT. And I really don't want to say Carmelo Hayes because he's a current champion. But, you know, somebody up and coming, you know, like, you look back at John Cena, you know, when, who are you? You know, ruthless aggression. Like, if we would have known everything about John Cena's background, if we would have had that inspirational story about John Cena like they did with Nick Wayne last week, does that mean that John Cena should have beat Kurt Angle? No, absolutely not. But I will tell you something that revealed a major, major problem that AEW's had for 4 years. It's something that you and I talked about 4 years ago, 3 years ago, and gave up afterwards. Darby Allin revealed something. And he doesn't even reveal it, realize he revealed something. Nobody's talking about it. I promise you, you know, the people that are overly gushy for AEW, they think they're helping AEW, they won't touch this. Some people will figure it out. They're a little slow to the game. But Darby Allin commented about Nick Wayne's debut. Listen carefully. What Darby Allin said, it reveals something that AEW totally, totally fucked up the last 4 years. This is kind of mind-blowing for me, because you would think this would be one of the first things you would want to do as a brand new promotion. Darby Allin says, and I quote, I went up to Tony Khan and said, I have this idea. I want to present Nick in a way where I make a video package for him so people could get to know him before he wrestles and not just throw him out there as a random guy, but have a backstory. I read that and I was like, holy fucking shit. Darby Allin just revealed one of the biggest flaws in AEW's four-year history. What was the number one complaint that we had early on with AEW? Tell us why we should give a shit about Marco Stunt. Tell us why we should give a shit about Jack Perry, Jungle Boy. Tell us why we should give a shit about Powerhouse Hobbs. Tell us why we should give a shit about... They never gave us video packages to tell us about their background. Sammy Guevara. You know, nothing. They never did. Darby, just let that sink in for a minute. Boss, I got this idea. Let's do a video package. Let's give them a backstory. Motherfucker, that shit should have been done 4 years ago with half your young stars. They never did anything. They never did anything. How many times over 4 years people have said, why are we supposed to care about this person? Like, are we supposed to automatically assume that everybody follows Japanese wrestling? That everybody follows this person? Oh, I know who that is. That's Joshi Shimo. Like, why do I care? So that was crazy that for 4 years, boss, I have an idea. Let's do a video package and do a backstory. That's a great idea. That should have been done 4 fucking years ago and should still be going on. Unbelievable. But as far as Nick Wayne, I think he did a good job. I have no complaints. I want to give a shout out to everybody on Twitter. When I teased it earlier in the week, I said that I have a few things to say about Nick Wayne. They immediately thought I was going to shit on the kid. I think he did a great job. Me as a wrestling fan, I'm not friends with him. I don't, never worked with him. Don't know anybody that knows him. I'm happy for him. But as a wrestling fan, I honestly was not really interested in seeing him taking on Swerve Strickland. Like, if he had one leg, if he was 4 foot zero, if he was this, you know, crazy phenomenal. Let me put it like this. El Hijo del Vikingo. That is something where you're like, I gotta see what this hype is all about. Like, there are some people where you're like, you know what? I've never seen this person. Well, I gotta see what it's all about. I didn't get that feeling about Nick Wayne. Like, that feel-good story is more for the people behind the scenes than for the people watching at home. That's what I got from that. So we'll break down that wrestling rating on Monday a little bit more. By the way, Collision tonight, they're hyping up. And I know for the majority of you out there, by the time you see this show or hear it, it'll already have happened. But tonight, CM Punk takes on Ricky Starks in the Owen Hart final, tournament final, and Willow Nightingale takes on Ruby Soho in the tournament final. FTR will be defending the tag team championships 2 out of 3 falls match to Jay White and Juice Robinson. A lot of people want to know, what do I think about what's going to happen tonight? I don't think CM Punk turns heel. I don't think you do a heel turn in the midst of an Owen Hart tournament. I find it interesting that Owen Hart's wife apparently is not going to be there, but Jushin Thunder Liger, you know, who had early history a little bit with Owen, is going to be there instead. That I thought was a little bit interesting. I think Ricky Starks is going to get it. I think Ricky Starks should get it. I think there should be a handshake and a sign of respect afterwards, and I hope that's where they go with this. On the opposite side, I honestly think Ruby Soho should get it. I mean, if Willow Nightingale gets it, she earned it and deserved it. But Willow Nightingale is falling into the same thing that I've noticed that AEW does, that they did to FTR up until last year. Willow will hold the title for other places, but AEW doesn't give them their own title. oh, you could bring food from somewhere else and eat at the table, but you can't eat our food. That's what they have done before. So putting the O&R tournament trophy, belt, whatever you want on Willow Nightingale, until I see AEW give Willow an AEW championship, to me, this is smoke and mirrors. That's how I honestly feel. Ricky Starks to an extent as well. I don't give a shit about no FTR title. Like, Ricky Starks went toe-to-toe with MJF, and look what has happened since. Can't wait for Ricky Starks. Brian Pillman Jr. has officially left AEW. His contract wasn't renewed. Motherfucker's already training at the WWE Performance Center. Good. Throw him in NXT. You advertise him as Brian Pillman Jr. We don't need to tweak his name like they did with Bron Breakker. You know, we celebrate Brian Pillman. Plus, you know, he can work. Give him the opportunity. Shit, I'd like to see him go at it with Charlie Dempsey a little bit. But I also think that Jay White and Juice Robinson should beat FTR for those titles tonight. If FTR and CM Punk could have possibly team up for either All In or All Out, I don't think any of them should have any belts in their possession. I honestly think Jay White and Juice Robinson should win those championships today. If they don't win those championships today, where do you go with Jay White and Juice Robinson? I mean, let's be honest. Collision has been around for 5 weeks now. Danny Dima is doing the same shit he did in Dynamite. Andrade is doing the same shit he did in Dynamite. The Trios titles are non-existent anymore, if you really think about it. So people are starting to accept the fact now that Collision is just Saturday Night Dynamite. That's what we said 2 days before the first ever Collision episode aired. You know, you start dissecting Collision a little bit more. Some of those typical holes that we were fearing would not surface have surfaced. I personally think Jay White and Juice Robinson need to win those belts tonight. And by the way, Battle of the Belts is happening tonight as well. And this is why, you know, people have been saying, well, why didn't FTR and Juice Robinson, Jay White, why weren't they on Battle of the Belts? Instead, we're getting Taya Valkyrie take on Toni Storm, which you know is going to, there's going to be no title changes on this card. Orange Cassidy is going to take on Lance Archer for the international title. Luchasaurus is going to defend the TNT title against Shawn Spears. Toni Storm's going to defend the Women's Championship against Taya Valkyrie, or the TBS Championship. The Women's Championship. Chris Statlander holds TBS title. There are going to be no title changes, but the reason why FTR versus Juice Robinson and Jay White should not be on Battle of the Belts is only 1 hour. You don't want Juice Robinson and Jay White versus FTR only go 10 minutes or 15 minutes. You know, you want to take your sweet-ass time with that shit. So these matches, we'll probably get an extra match thrown on here, but it's only 1 hour long. So that's why you don't have the bigger matches on this card. But that is happening later tonight as well. Yesterday on Rampage, as we just talked in the preview, Willow Nightingale advanced to the final of the Owen Hart tournament, beating Athena. Lance Archer beat Trent Barreta, give him a little momentum. A little suspension of disbelief that he could possibly beat Orange Cassidy, which he's not. Toni Storm, she had the confrontation with Taya Valkyrie. We had Konosuke Takeshita. He defeated Mentalo, not Mento like the mint, the breath freshener, Mentalo, Mentallo. All I know about him is he's a luchador in his 40s. Never really got the big time as far as I know. Takeshita beat him. The Dark Order talked, and we had Keith Lee and Dustin Rhodes beat 2.0. That was pretty much a Rampage yesterday. By the way, I said this on Twitter, and I wanted to share it here too. Any of you out there kind of miss the Iron Sheik every day wishing us a have a good day and go fuck yourself? I kind of miss that. Who's going to be the one to carry that forward? I mean, Lex Luger every day thanks the Lord for another day. And that's going to be a little sad when the day comes and Lex Luger's tweet doesn't pop up. I kind of miss the Iron Sheik. Everyone, have a good day today and go fuck yourself. I miss the Iron Sheik. I miss Sheiky Baby. I miss Sheiky Baby. All right, we got one more thing to talk about. It's a pretty big one. And then we got a couple of more super shout-outs. We got to talk about this banned and restricted list that AEW put out. Fightful released the list. They get full credit. It has been verified. And, yeah, I know some journalists are like, well, that's fucked up. Fightful is getting news. They're getting leaks directly from AEW because their former buddy, Will, works there. So what? You don't want accurate shit? Oh, my God. Why are people getting mad at that? I thought that was pretty funny. And there's no proof that he was leaking it. Before we get into this banned and restricted list, because I smell T-shirts being developed, and I don't think some of this is going to really be followed, but we'll get into that in a little bit. I want to give a super shout-out to Rizzo, who sent the five spot a few moments ago. Does the green shirt guy and other of those fans that are at every show work for WWE, or are they just rich? They are just rich. Well, not necessarily rich, but that's what they do with their money. Some people will go and buy an expensive car. Some people will buy... I'm not saying that he don't own an expensive car or house. I don't know what green shirt guy does for a living. I don't know what Brock Lesnar guy does for a living. But they obviously... You know, hey, you want to come to Florida with us? You want to go on a cruise with us? Nah, I'm going to go to SmackDown in Toledo or, you know, Dayton. That's what gets them going. Hey, and WWE does put tickets aside. That's why if you notice, oh, the New York Jets are here and they're not in Section 210. You know, WWE keeps a lot of front row, second row seats aside for special people. When they go, listen, this is planned months in advance. When tickets go on sale, there'll be a certain group of seats that never become available. And that will be available because if they're coming to, let's say, Brooklyn, you know, some celebrities or artists, the sports personalities, athletes, you know, that may want to go, they get the opportunity. You know, some others, I'm pretty sure that these guys get an opportunity to get a ticket. You know, trust me, they're not on Ticketmaster just saying, let me drop $3,000 because I got to sit front row. So they get a little bit of, you know, fringe benefits from that. And you know what? That's dedication, man. That's dedication. Thank you, Rizzo. Much love. Let's talk about this ban list. Fightful released a list of banned moves, list of moves that need approval from AEW personnel, and what weapons, I guess, can be used. Oh, no, you need approval. You need approval. So it's a very controversial list because I think most people believe that there's going to be some individuals like Moxley, perfect example, that is either going to get approval or they're going to do what they want anyway. I can't picture someone like Moxley who does what he wants, you know, regardless. I mean, look, he's a corporate, you know, he's a company guy. Like, he wants to truly help AEW. But if Moxley wants to do something, he ain't going to the back and say, guys, I want to do this spot. And who do you think fucking Evil Uno is going to say, nah, I can't do it? Tony Khan? Does anybody honestly think Tony Khan's going to look at John Moxley and say, listen, John, I don't think it's a good idea? You know, whatever you say, boss, whatever you say. Whatever you say, boss, whatever you say. Mox, you know, I trust in you, Mox, and you will do the right thing and you will be safe. So it's pretty obvious. The reason why they're doing this, I'm going to make it clear, and then I'm going to share with you some of the things, because we already realized that something like this, banned, no drinking with the fans. You're not allowed to accept a beverage from the fans. The reason why they're doing all this, before I get into the list, the reason why they're doing this is because they got to promote some form of wellness. You're seeing a lot more injuries happen in AEW than WWE. But let me go one step further before anybody hounds on me and tries to bring up statistics or anything like that. The injuries that are happening in AEW are, in many cases, preventable. You know, look, you're wrestling, you tear a hamstring. Not much you could do about that. You jump off the top rope and you simply just land on your leg and you twist an ankle or you blow out your knee. Not much you can do about that. But a lot of these over-the-top moves and somebody lands the wrong way and their leg snaps in half or somebody's body crushes somebody's face or somebody gets concussed. A lot of times, look at Sting's dive. Look at others. You know, just because they're not, you know, like in a brace or in a wheelchair or dead doesn't mean that they didn't get injured. A lot of injuries are kept quiet because they want to avoid the backlash. Sting has gotten his ass injured. Make no mistake about it. It is talked about in the wrestling world. He's gotten his ass injured more than once. Out of respect to Sting, people keep it quiet. They don't want to put that out there. What the fuck are you having a 65-year-old doing the shit that he's doing? There's a lot of little injuries that are kept quiet. And it's not because suck it up. It's because they don't want the negative feedback from it. But they want to promote a little bit of wellness because these injuries are costly. They're costly. Plus, you know, you don't want to wish or hope or, you know, predict that something even more tragic is going to happen. It could happen anytime to anybody. But, you know, you're just, a lot of times you see some of these moves. Let me put it this way. You know, I'm not trying to single out Sammy Guevara. That guy concerns me more than anybody else. When I see him do this, I'm just waiting for the day that he gets stretched out in an ambulance and you get a whole bunch of wise-ass fans as he's being put in an ambulance and they're going, like, what do you think now? Like, I don't want to see anybody get seriously injured. So you got to have some limitations there. Plus, here's another thing that's very important. There's a lot of younger guys out there that because everybody flips, because everybody has these crazy-ass brawls, because there's all this crazy shit that's going on, people try to one-up each other. Not because they're trying to embarrass someone else, because they feel like, oh, anything you could do, I could do better. Anything you could do, I could do better. Anything you could do, you know, like, and then they try to do something better, and then some people get seriously injured. They don't get injured every week, but it's happening, and these injuries are expensive. There ain't no GoFundMe pages for Dante Martin. There ain't no fucking, this is big. Plus, there's been a couple of incidents with fans. And some people think that it's part of the show. And some people think, oh, you know, just, you know, wow them in the back, give them some merchandise, and they get to meet their stars and everything is good. That's until somebody grabs a lawyer and says, nah, fuck that. I want $3 million. And there's another thing that nobody thinks about. The building, the State Athletic Commission, the network. Everybody thinks, well, not everybody, but there's a good portion of people out there that think that WarnerMedia, like, loves all of the crazy shit that AEW does. I mean, they've already censored the language. But if you notice, there's a lot less. It doesn't happen as often as before, some of the violence you see. And the network wants to please the advertisers. The buildings don't want added risk. The people in the crowd, the insurance companies. How do you think an insurance company, because I write insurance for a living and I've written insurance for wrestling events. Wrestling insurance companies like Lloyd's and others that will write wrestling events, you know, they want to see what kind of track record people have. And believe me, there's some underwriting that is done. And sometimes they'll say, you know what, blah, 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 you know, ultra violent. Nah, we don't want to cover that. Or there'll be some serious restrictions on that policy. So understand why this list came out is for wellness. It's also to prevent lawsuits. It's also to appease the buildings. It's also supposed to appease the networks. And it's also supposed to, you know, help them with insurance. It's called risk. They're trying to eliminate risk. A lot of the larger performers are still going to be able to do what they want to do. But for the younger ones out there and the ones that are a little bit too reckless, this is AEW's polite way of saying, we'll just do it broad instead of going up to an individual person and say, you can't do that. So, banned moves, courtesy of Fightful. Probably the one that people are upset with the most. It is this one. Unprotected chair shots to the head and the back of the head. It is banned. No more unprotected chair shots. That will now be under a microscope because of a lot of people who don't like AEW, that every time that happens, I remember when it happened with Impact Wrestling. When WWE started their wellness and stopped chair shots to the head, and Impact was still doing it, Impact was getting called out big time for it. Just do some old Google News history, and you'll see what I'm talking about. Can't do any buckle bombs or any blind moves backwards into a turnbuckle. We've seen some injuries because of that. Fencing responses, which is an unnatural position of arms following a concussion. Seizure cells. You're not allowed to sell that you're having a seizure unless you're really having a seizure. No spitting or bleeding in the crowd. So if you are brawling in the crowd and you are bleeding even the least, ain't happening. Shit ain't happening. No weapons or projectiles into the crowd. Absolutely none. You cannot take any drinks or food from the audience. That has been officially banned. No physicality with the audience. And that's not just pushing, slapping, knocking the head off. That is spitting. That is anything that could invade a fan space. Can't even plant the fan. Because if they plant the fan and do it, people are going to realize they planted the fan. List of moves that need approval. Yeah. Well, that doesn't look good. List of moves that need approval. Actually, you know what? We could do it like this. Let's leave it alone. Spots and bumps on the ring, apron and outside the ring. You want to do a bump to the outside, you got to get approval first. That is not going to be enforced. Table, ladder, and chair shots in and out of the ring. And if you do a table, chair, or ladder shot outside the ring, there must be padding on the floor. Any elevated spots outside the barricades, dives and ladders, whether it's on the stage, around the arena, or other places outside the ring. All pile driver and tombstone variations, including sit-down pile drivers and inverted poison, hurricanranas, vertebrakers, have to get approval beforehand. High-risk dives or top rope moves, you have to get approval to do a 450, a 630, a double moonsault, an SSP. Intentional bleeding. If you want to bleed, or you just want to bleed, maybe you want to legitimately bash your head in the ring post like Brock Lesnar, you got to get approval for it. Throwing people through, over the ring steps, onto the commentary table, the timekeeper's table, or guardrails and barricades, you got to get approval. And as far as weapons, you have to get approval to use chairs, pipes, kendo sticks, hammers, ring bells, bats, chains, even title belts. You have to get approval if you want to use thumbtacks, skewers, barbed wire, and other sharp functioning items. You have to get approval if you want to use powders, aerosol sprays, or liquids. So every time, you know, the outcasts use the spray, can we use the paint can? Doesn't it feel like an insurance company or the network or buildings started telling them, yo, you got to stop this shit. Or you got to really cut this shit down. Or there's too many people. Or maybe they feel because everybody's doing it, people are getting numb to it. It's a conversation we've had before. Anyway, to finish this up, you have to get approval if you want to tease an injury spot. Whether medical is or not involved or called to the ring. Any physicality you want to do in the crowd, you want to brawl into the crowd like I showed you earlier, you got to get approval. And if you're bleeding, you are not allowed in that crowd. And any physicality involving referees, managers, extras, no more hip-hop artists punching people out at ringside, celebrities, or special guests. Doesn't this feel like AEW went to the vet and they cut their nuts off? I mean, again, a lot of this is approval. You'll still see a lot of this. My friends, you don't think that they're not going to generate a shirt like this for John Moxley? It's not fuck rules. It's you take the letters and you invert it, so it's not an expletive. But tell me Mox is not going to be coming out with a shirt that rules are meant to be broken or ruck fools. Little trivia. My friends, what wrestlers had a ruck fools shirt that was pretty much fuck rules? Anybody out there know what wrestlers had that shirt? Anybody out there? Nobody? Well, I'll show you. Some people got it right already, but I'll show you. That was an infamous shirt back in the spinner belt days. Actually, let me show you like this. There you go. Yeah, John Cena had that shirt. Believe it or not, I don't think Steve Austin ever had a ruck fools shirt, a fuck rules shirt. I don't think Steve Austin ever had one. I did some searching. I could only find John Cena having one of those. So what do you think? Are you shocked that this is not like headline news? I mean, again, a lot of wrestlers that are, you know, are the moneymakers, they're going to be able to do what they want. Make no mistake about it. But what they're doing is for the lower card, for the aspiring, for those that are still very, very early in their careers, they want to tone this down. And they are, like I said, injury, claims, building, network, insurance, lawsuits. There are so many factors. You kind of ask yourself, why did it take them 4 years to put that out? You almost feel like, did something specifically happen where they were, you know, pretty much told, you need to clean this shit up? My gut feeling tells me that it might have to do with insurance or legal. I think it might have to do with one of those two. we'll see. I'll try to get some information. But with that said, I'm going to get out of here. We're right at the two-hour mark as well. So I would love your feedback if you like the 12 noon start time instead of 11 a.m. I'm not going to lie. And please do not go in one way to please me. You're not pleasing me. The extra hour of sleep today was great. I felt like I didn't have to rush to prepare. But if people prefer that we do it at 11 and finish a little bit earlier, let me know. Because your feedback, I go with what you want me to do. As long as I can do it, let me know if you like the 12 noon start. Tomorrow, we're going to do the sit down. And everybody who gave me their choices of who they feel is the most sexiest woman in WWE, NXT, and AEW, we will revisit some of your answers. For some people out there that got extremely offended saying that, why are we treating women with disrespect? There are a lot of women that are very, very proud of their bodies and like to take pictures in bikinis and like to show off how beautiful they are. We are celebrating them. We're not doing anything piggish. We're not trying to demean women. We are just celebrating their beauty. So we will talk about that tomorrow. Don't forget, on Tuesday, Kevin and I will be back again. Now, it's going to be a split show. Kevin and I will spend the first hour talking AEW, and then the second hour will be my usual weekly show. So you'll get two shows, you'll get a double show. Kevin and I will not be going 3 hours talking AEW. But that's going to be an interesting conversation, breaking down that roster. Tonight, we have Slammiversary. And honestly, I think it's definitely worth checking out. They got a pretty outstanding lineup. Alex Shelley will be taking on Nick Aldis for the Impact World Championship. Deonna Purrazzo will be defending the Knockouts title against Trinity. Bully Ray and Cody Deaner will be taking on Scott D'Amore and a mystery partner. And a lot of people think it's Eric Young. Eric Young may already be gone from WWE, what, for the third time? So don't know for sure, but a lot of people think it's going to be Eric Young. Or maybe, you know what? Maybe WWE allowed him to go for a one-shot deal. Who knows? I'll try to get the answer. Chris Sabin will be defending the X Division Championship against Leo Rush. Ace Austin and Chris Bay will be defending the tag titles against Brian Myers and Moose, as well as Rich Swann and Sammy Callahan, and Flash Morgan Webster and Mark Andrews. That'll be a four-way for the tag titles. Eddie Edwards versus Frankie Kazarian. Take note that Alicia Edwards will be in Eddie Edwards' corner, and Tracy Brooks will be in Frankie Kazarian's corner. Expect the women to brawl. Taylor Wilde and Kylan King will be defending the Knockouts tag titles against Killer Kelly and Masha Slamovic. Jonathan Gresham versus Mike Bailey versus Kevin Knight versus Allen Angels versus Kushida. It'll be a Ultimate X match to determine a new number one contender for the X Division Championship. Then we will have a couple of dark matches. Jody Threat and the Death Dolls versus the Chantourage of Giselle Shaw, Samantha Evans, and Jai Vidal. Joe Henry versus Kenny King. That'll be for the Impact Digital Media Championship. Joe Henry is currently the champion. So Slammiversary tonight, taking place at the St. Clair College in Windsor, Ontario, Canada. It's available on Fight and other, I'm sure, other streaming services. So you might want to go check that out. I mean, it's a pretty strong card. The doctor says Don Tony never accused of groping. I've never groped anybody. Or grouped. I try to be fair across the board. Oh, by the way, the injury angle for Jimmy Uso, they are calling it officially a ruptured rib cartilage. I got to look that up. Ruptured rib cartilage. Why wouldn't Jimmy just come out there wearing tape around his waist? Like, why does he have to disappear? That's kind of a light injury. Yeah. Everybody, enjoy the rest of your weekend. You know, let me know what you think on some of the things we talked about today. Again, you know, as far as that JD stuff, you know, my comments were based on the first tweet. And I'm not going to sit there and police what people say afterwards. You know, do I think he should apologize? Because I see people asking this. I'll say this in closing. JD, I didn't watch his show yesterday. I don't know what he said and didn't say. If I was JD, I would just say, listen, I had no idea her sister had cancer. I was doing a live reaction, and my immediate reaction was, why would WWE Creative do this? That's what I would have said. But you got to understand, his relationship with the IWC is entirely different than me. The guy's got, 60,000 followers? The guy tweets, it gets 20, 30,000 views. I tweet, I get 300 views. You know what I mean? So, you know, there's this constant friction online. So me giving an answer is probably not the smartest thing to do. But I said what I said yesterday because I didn't want to get dragged into that. I'd rather focus on seeing what we could do, even in a small way, to help her sister, Shotzi's sister, you know, because we like Shotzi. We want to support her and her family. And again, that's what we'll do. I don't know if I'm going to post it on social media because I know there's going to be some weird people out there that are going to be like, oh, DT, you're just doing that to get attention on yourself. So I'm probably not going to post on social media. Well, at least Twitter. I'm not going to post on Twitter that next week's Super Chats will go to her GoFundMe. Maybe I'll do it like 5 minutes before showtime. But for everybody who's tuning in, you can make note of it that anything that does come in next weekend, we'll put it on the GoFundMe. So, and if the amount is very low, then maybe I'll double it. So we'll see how it goes. All right, guys, I'm out of here. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. Much love. And thank you for joining me for a little bit of your weekend. Slammiversary, you may go now. La nostra familia, you may go now.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who claim they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.